WDRBY, Rowan Derby Radio, is proud to present Q-Tips with Electrocution, legendary player for the Carolina Roller Girls. Send your question right now to electrocution at carolinarollergirls.com. That's ELEKTRAQTION at carolinarollergirls.com. And now, get ready for Electrocution, only on WDRBY, Roller Derby Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Q's Tips. I'm Electrocution from the Carolina Roller Girls. You are live with Q's Tips. Tonight we're going to have a special guest. It's going to be Dot Bomber. Say hi, Dot.
Hi.
And she's a teammate, been a teammate for a really long time. And we're going to answer some questions. We have some very specific questions based on height differences tonight. Yay. Because we are at a height differential that's probably pretty severe on our team.
We're probably the peak in the valley.
Yep, we really probably are. You're probably the shortest, and I'm probably the tallest person on the team. If you have any questions and you want to get a hold of us, you can find me on Facebook under Renee Q McHugh, because Facebook stole my name. It looks like they're not going to be giving it back before I retire, which sucks, but that's the way it is. Or you can find me on electrocution at carolinarollergirls.com. So, Dot, what have you been up to the last couple of months since I haven't seen you here on the radio show?
I have been going to practice. I've changed jobs. I had a side trip to London for a week. Mm-hmm. So, other than derby and work.
That's about everybody's life, right?
Yeah. I did actually do a load of laundry, and I took it from the dryer and put it immediately away.
Good for you.
Which is such a novel thing in
my
house.
Good for you. Yeah, that doesn't happen here. Mm-mm.
No, it usually just goes to my guest bed.
Yeah.
Where it sits until I'm ready to wear it again.
Exactly. Yeah. What's drawers? You know, who puts that stuff away? Okay, so we've had one of our hardest seasons ever. And
yes.
I think the hard work's going to pay off. We're keeping our fingers crossed because July 15th, we'll find out if we've made it into D2s. So we're really excited.
About that.
I know. And have you ever gone, what is your favorite, you've gone to a couple now, derby situations. What's your favorite tournament so far?
Wow, that's a hard one. Probably, it wasn't really a tournament though. I loved the Michigan tournament that we went to.
The Kalamazoo one.
But I also, and this wasn't a tournament, it was just the last time we went up to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
We just had such an awesome Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had a dance-off warm-up. But probably the Michigan-Kalamazoo trip this a couple of months ago.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll either be at Michigan again.
That would be awesome.
Or we'll be in Kansas.
That would be fun, too.
Yeah, I've never been to Kansas, so.
It's flat.
It's flat. Michigan's kind of flat, too.
Yes, it's more flat.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to have a whole bunch of questions, but the first one is from Merle Pinkins, and Merle's a longtime listener. And what was the craziest or weirdest experience you've ever had while playing a game? I had a couple answers to this, but because you and I have shared one of the ones I was going to bring up.
I think it's probably the same one I'm thinking of, too, but I don't think it was during a game. I think it might have been during practice.
Okay.
But we kind of ended up, we were just in a pack, and I think we were in opposing packs, and something happened, and we ended up kind of, I fell bridging over you and crab walked around, ended up crab walking over you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there was one that happened at Beach Brawl too, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Well, I was thinking of the game when we played the Regulators.
Oh.
And somehow there was a miscommunication between the NSOs and the reffing crew. And they had not stopped the last jam, but started the new jam.
So, I went to the box for that.
Yeah, we were above the pivot line because they didn't stop the jam. Right. So we were still skating, and they put you in the box for that. And I went back behind the pivot line really fast.
See?
It was like 4-minute jam. It was a 4-minute jam. And it was really weird, and it was what, in 2011, 2012, somewhere?
It was probably, Raspberry Beretta was in the league, so it had to have been 2012.
Yeah, so it was 2012, and it hasn't happened since, thank goodness. NSOing has really stepped up. But yeah, it was a really strange experience. We were down in Columbia playing a team that we really like to play.
So much fun.
But it was just really weird because it was just a miscommunication. It was the last jam. And it wasn't that big a deal because it wasn't the score we were winning by such a large amount. It wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
But it was just so strange. Like, we did not know what had happened.
I wasn't even thinking in actual, that kind of weird stuff. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a crazy game. And that was the first game I ever it's one of two games in my entire career that I finished the game in the box.
Right, but for such a weird experience.
But for such a weird...
And you were in there back in the day when it was a minute in the box, God. So it was...
I forgot about the minute penalties.
It felt like you were in there forever. I can't imagine going back to the minute penalties, can you?
No, no. It'd be, I think Sandrine Ranjan solidified the never go back to a minute.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With that huge jam yes. in the 2012
so awful.
Champs.
So awful. I can remember sitting there, or you got, you know, God forbid you got another penalty. On top of that, or your jammer got, like, you know, got insubordination on top of that.
It was the worst when you're a jammer.
You were like, really? Yeah. And you just had to sit there and watch your team deal with it. Ugh.
I just felt guilty. I remember jamming, getting a penalty, cut track. Because, mm-hmm. you know, those are always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And just sitting there feeling so guilty in the box.
Well, I mean, I think now it's so quick. Sometimes you get in there and they're like, stand. You're like, what?
Didn't even need to breathe.
I just got up here. Yeah. So, I guess that's the craziest thing that's ever happened to me during a game. Like, yeah. I really officially during a game where I was sitting there going, I have no idea what's going on right now.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. That mm-hmm. was a pretty... That was an interesting day, anyway.
It was.
Our refs had tails at one
point. Yeah, they were all dressed up from Pride.
Yeah,
a lot of them came in from the Pride parade, and so they were all dressed up in, like, crazy outfits and everything, and I remember looking at them going, wow, this is really distracting.
That was the Fembot game.
Yes, we all dressed up like Fembots from Austin Powers. Yep.
Yes, and I got pulled over on the way home with Shady Character and Raspberry Beretta in my car, and mm-hmm. we smelled awful.
Oh, yeah.
We had... Still full Fembot makeup on.
Nice.
And he pulled me over and just rolled down the window on the passenger side, and he just got hit with this wall of stank. And then we have all this crazy makeup on, and he was like, did you know you were speeding? I'm like, yes. And I explained, like, roller derby, like, we're driving home. And he was like, just slow it down.
Just
and
slow it down, ladies.
I'm pretty
Fembots.
Sure the smell.
Yeah.
The smell and the makeup was just...
He probably, his eyes were probably watering from the smell. Yeah. It was a fun day. It was just a really, that was the weirdest one I could come up
yeah.
with. I've seen other weird stuff happen. Like, I've seen somebody, their knee pad just explode on the track
yeah.
where everything just
That's crazy.
Fell off because
I think we were in that game together too.
Yeah, because everything rusted through those bolts. Like, if you have,
too much sweat.
Yeah, too much sweat and don't let them dry out enough, they'll rust. And I've seen that happen. I've seen, refs get taken out. That's funny.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's not supposed to be, but it's kind of funny.
I've seen a couple of skates explode on the track.
Yes, mine has exploded.
Yeah,
yeah. I got really good at putting it back together again really fast.
Yay for skate mechanics.
Yeah. Yep. I became my own pit crew for a while there. All right. Next question is from Christy Davis or Krispy Kremer.
Hi, Krispy Kremer.
Okay. Was there a time when you felt like derby just wasn't for you because of your size? We all know that's not true anymore, if there ever was. So, Dot, do you want to give the listeners what your size is?
So, I am flat-footed prior to derby. I'm probably a little bit shorter now.
Yeah, just because you've had your bones
right?
cracked a million times.
I'm 4'10 and 3/4".
Very nice.
And when I started playing derby, I weighed about 103 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't weigh that anymore. Derby wanted me to be heavier, so yeah. Here I am.
Yep.
And to answer Kremer's question, I have never felt short unless I'm literally looking at a picture of myself or seeing my reflection with somebody tall next to me,
mm-hmm.
but I have no concept of my size.
Right.
So I didn't feel any challenges. I didn't think my size was going to hinder me any because I've never given it any thought to begin with.
Did you ever have anyone say that to you, though? Like, you're too short for this sport, or you're too little for this
sport?
No,
what I usually got was, ooh, you're little, you're going to be a jammer.
Oh, yeah, well.
So, that was, but no, I don't think I've ever really had anybody say, no, you can't do it.
That's good.
And the year that I came in was a big year for Montreal. They really put themselves on the map in 2011, and mm-hmm. Ewan Woodarmy, and this is a follow-up
to I you. Loved her.
I loved her, too.
Yeah.
She is
She's
tiny,
tiny
little thing.
Yeah, she is.
And she was really inspirational. She's actually one of my derby heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing her be so successful and so tiny and just a whip of a thing.
Fierce
yeah,
woman.
Like, mm-hmm. I just was like, all right, I can do this.
Yeah. I'm 6 feet tall, and I weighed, when I joined the league, 145. I weigh more now, which I'm happy about, actually. But I got a lot of crap because I was tall. So a lot of people were like, you're never going to be able to do this because you're too tall. Get lower. You know, that's... And you'd have someone like Roxy Rocket, who was very short.
Yeah, she's like 5'2".
Yeah, who would tell me to get lower and to try it this way. And I would just look at her and I'm like, my body does not bend like right. that. You know? And so, yeah, I try to get lower, but my low is not necessarily going to be your low, no. right? So I used to get a lot of crap, and I used to hear announcers back in about 2010, Legs used to be one of our jammers,
yes.
and they would say, well, she's too tall to be a jammer. And I would straight up just bristle every time I heard that, and I was like, announcer, shut your mouth.
Yeah. I mean, Legs was an awesome jammer.
God, and... She was hard to stop. She was really hard to stop. So I just think it's funny that anyone has a preconceived notion of what size. A body size can do on the track.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I mean, you look at other... Like, let's look at men's sports, even football.
Mm-hmm.
You have, a wide range of... I mean, compare your average quarterback to, mm-hmm. a defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah. It's completely different.
You know, one weighs 300 pounds.
Right.
One doesn't.
But, I mean, or look at, someone with the build of a freight train. Not to, call a body type out, but she's a bigger girl.
She's got a great body.
She's got an amazing body, and she's a bigger girl, but she can move, crazy, and I want to be that skater, you know?
I was going to say, when I jam, that's the body I want.
Yes,
I want
absolutely.
To be, the person who can move a wall uh-huh. around the track and make them
and take a hit and just,
it. Yeah.
brush it off.
Ooh, thank you for the extra power.
Yeah, thank you for pushing me through. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I really like, seeing people that can skate. I think it all comes down to your skill. I don't think it comes down to your body type. It comes down to skill.
Yeah.
And now certain body types are probably going to be better at certain skills.
Yeah.
I get that. But you're going to be able to do things. You have to modify things to do them in your own way.
Right. I don't go for the big hits. That's why I actually like today's derby better than yesterday's derby. Because
right.
I like a wall strategy because that's one of my strengths. So, yeah.
Well, too funny, though. I was jamming against Ann Arbor, and Ann Arbor was a tough team to jam against. I had gotten the panty pass, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, people were moving, and I was like, who's doing it? And it was Dot. Dot had come in, and they didn't see you, and you just took two girls out, and I was like, thanks, Dot! Right through the pack.
Really, being short's like my roller derby superpower.
It is really good. And so, don't let anyone tell you you're too short, you're too tall, you're too big, you're too skinny, blah, 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 blah. Although I do hate hitting a skinny girl. Man, their hips.
Casey?
Yes,
Casey,
their hips are like glass. Oh.
And Slashire Cat.
Yes, oh my god. Just wreck your whole day.
Yeah, it's like having been hit with a cinder block.
Yep, it really hurts. It hurts. Your hips hurt.
I never did a blog post for it, but I have a series of bruises, a series of pictures from where Casey hit me
mm-hmm.
on, and it was like a hip bone to hip bone contact.
Ugh.
And I took, and then I made her sign it, I got her signature on it, and then I took a series of pictures, and it was like, the evolution of a derby bruise.
Well, I mean, it's, when you don't have any padding, you can really use that to your advantage, and it really is, woof.
And she was a slippery little jammer, mm-hmm. so she did use those hips mm-hmm. to her advantage.
All right, next question. This is from Mickey Mouth Hess. Well, not sure if you had the topic, but curious nonetheless, more informational seeking. Owning a team, pros and cons. What works better, boards or president, vice president, treasurer, secretary? So I asked Mickey if she meant a privately owned team or a skater owned team. And
structure.
She said a leadership structure versus a privately owned team, an owner. So I got to tell you, for me, this is the only experience I've had in roller derby. Now, I've seen other teams that were privately owned, and the ones that I am aware of, such as the Charlotte Speed Demons, they went under. Because
yeah.
the owner was like, well, we can't afford it anymore, bye. So they were left without a team.
Right.
I think each has a pro and con. I would prefer not to have to do all the administrative bullcrap that we end up doing in the four skaters by the skaters.
Right.
But, I would also rather be in charge of my own destiny than worry about, an owner.
Yeah, I think the Texecutioners are a really good example of this. They
mm-hmm.
were, they were the shoot off of what is now
Texas Roller Derby,
but they had originally been a privately owned team, and
mm-hmm.
They had all these, watch the documentary.
Yeah.
But,
is that the Blood on the Flat Track documentary? Or is it Hell on
Wheels? I think it's Hell on Wheels, because Blood
mm-hmm.
on the Flat Track's about Rat City.
That's right.
But they're a perfect example of how the ownership and that leadership was not successful. And I think we, women who play derby, are very, I always say type A, it's not really the word I'm looking for, but, mm-hmm. you know, we're okay taking care of business ourselves. We probably got where we were to that point for a reason. And I've been on the board 3 times. You've been on the board a couple times.
Yeah, I think what I have a problem with is that we don't have a support structure. If it isn't us, you know, if it isn't the skaters doing all the work and doing everything, this is how people get burnt out, as you felt, being on the board several times or being in a leadership position in the league several times. It will burn you out and it burns your skaters out.
Yeah.
And I think you would have skaters playing the game longer if they didn't have to do all the extra stuff that went along with it. If you had some support structure.
I think sometimes it's... So I always enjoyed being on the board, but I think that what ultimately kills your soul a little bit is you get to see every side of somebody.
Yes, and sometimes you don't always... Sometimes.
Like, I have some pretty nasty sides, too, and it happens, but it's really hard to form, like, to look at someone the same way when you're like, oh, I know more than I want to know about you, and it makes it hard for me to go out there and, like... I mean, I do it because they're my teammates. I'd protect them.
Right.
Anything for them.
But okay, so here's a good example. If you have someone in your league that is having monetary problems, or they're having, some sort of family issue that, they're going through a messy divorce and this person can't come around, you have to suddenly be involved in those situations where you didn't want to be involved. Like, I never want to be involved in situations. So for me, I don't want to know that other stuff unless they want to share it with me as a friend.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of it, but as a person on the board, you have to be.
Well, even as a captain, though, you have. Yes. Like, so last year, my father was sick with lung cancer, mm-hmm. and I always remember having to send the email that said, I knew I wasn't going to make my attendance requirements because I had been traveling so much to see him. And I had to send that email. It's like, please, would you make a consideration for me for this one game? And, you know, as it turned out, I wasn't able to be there anyway. But, that's hard because you as a captain, like, well, we have policies in place for a reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll have a discussion about it. And I don't even remember what the outcome was. But, yeah, it is hard because now you're, you know, you have to think about your team and not just that one person's.
Right. And I think it wears you down. I think that is very wearing. I think the WFTDA, you know, having the for the skater, by the skater, was founded on good policy. I mean, because of what happened with Texas, we got to see that mess, and you could see it if you watch the documentary. Or you see it when a team is owned by someone and then they're unreasonable, or where'd the money go, or, you know, there's no open policy with that kind of stuff. So I think I see I see why that is, but I also wish we had some more support staff.
And for me, too, Is someone who's a non-skater going to be as deeply emotionally invested in the success of that team and that league? So that's kind of where I, like, yeah, it would be great to have an accountant be my finance director.
Right, exactly.
And my finance director is a great job, but, like, that's a lot of work to do. You know, that would be great. It'd be great to have, like...
Or someone who is maybe a little bit more remote from the emotional ups and downs of the team and doesn't have, you know, can be like, well, hey, this is the way the world is, you know, we need to deal with this right now. We need money, you know, that would be
we
something.
We all need money all the time.
Right, but I mean, they could say, I don't care about this other stuff, we need to pay bills, and that's their job, you know. It would be nice. I think it would be really nice, but I get it, you know, it's to each his own, to each her own, whatever your league runs as, just be very fair, you know. If you can own a league and do it, be very fair with it. I have to stress that. Be open with your communication. Do not hide stuff. Don't hide money.
Take money when people think it's there.
Yep, that is a bad, bad deal, because that's how I see most of these teams have problems. All right, next question is from Vaughn Murphy, who is Black Stallion.
Yes.
Who is Mr. All right, how do you coach a competitive team in a competitive sport to be competitive when some of your most talented skaters do not want to be competitive? Well, this is a story as old as time.
I know.
I was reading Ivana Spanking. She posted something very similar to this. You know, they had gone to D1s a couple years ago, and she said, man, it would be really exciting to be on a team where more than 7 people wanted to be competitive. She said, it must be really thrilling to be on, you know, Rose City or Gotham or Texas or any of these teams that, you know, are in the higher levels. And that's why they're there. You know, they're high up because they're everybody's on the same page.
I personally don't know how to answer this question because I've always wanted... Okay, that's a complete lie. I have not always wanted to be competitive. There was a time in my life when all I wanted to do was be a home team player, and I was going to be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted exactly the first 3 months of me playing roller derby.
Right, and right. I was going to be a bootlegger. I didn't want to... Yeah. I mean, I looked at our all-stars, and I was like, oh, okay, you know what? It's a lot of work, and they're kind of crazy, so yeah. I think I'll just stay here as a bootlegger.
But then I did want it, and I wanted to be competitive, and I have gone to practice and been not wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, I've missed weddings, I've missed birthdays, Mother's Day, mm-hmm. Easter. So that's a hard question for me to answer. I do think that one way to motivate, a lot of it has to do with your team chemistry
mm-hmm.
and those interpersonal relationships because, I mean, I've looked at my teammates before and said to them straight up, I am here for you tonight, mm-hmm. not because I wanted to put skates on and sweat in a 94% humidity on an air-conditioned warehouse. So yes. My thing would just be you need to build that chemistry and those personal relationships, and how you communicate with your team has a lot to do with it too as a coach or that leader. If you're very kind of... I was a gymnast, and my coaches were like, get up and do it again. You know, like, it was a very different, like, it was a scream at you, drill sergeant kind mm-hmm. of motivation, and that does not motivate everybody. It does not motivate me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something, too, knowing how to encourage the skaters individually, but also nurturing the interpersonal relationships. It's 20 women.
Yeah.
You know, like, 20 men don't get along either. 20 women are going to have their feelings, too. So it's just, you have to take each one kind of... as an individual.
I think what happens is you have to train up and you have to recruit to get, I mean, you know, talent is great, but if you don't have the drive, you know, eventually you're going to go away, right? Yeah. I mean, we've seen it happen over and over again. We've had people come into our league, we've recruited people into our league where we're like, look, we're on the way up, but it takes a lot of work. And they're like, oh, yeah, I totally want to skate competitively. And then they get here and they're like, oh, no, no.
Wait, you mean skating competitively is 10 hours a week of practice?
Yeah, you have to show up and do work and then, you know, work outside of practice and watch footage and all this stuff. And it, you know, they go away. They leave. We've had people in our league leave because of competitive. And it's hard, you know, because you can sit there at the beginning of the year like we always do. Hey, do you want to be competitive this year? Or do you want to pull back from that? What are the goals? What do we want to do? And the team always goes, we want to be competitive.
I think that's been like a... I think there's one person who is who voted no to being competitive in all the years I've been in this league.
But they always want it. And then I think the idea of competitive is different for them. You know, they don't realize what it takes. And every year, the leagues in the WFTDA are ratcheting up what it takes to be competitive. I mean, it's hard.
Maybe the question to the league, and this popped in my head, mm-hmm. every year should not be, do you want to be competitive? Because at the end of the day, if you want to go play a game and you want to win, that means you want to be competitive at some level. But I think the question needs to be, what level of competitive do you want to be?
Exactly.
Do you want to shoot for D2s or D1s? Or do you, you know, are you do you want to, like... play all the teams that are around you locally and have that local relationship.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Nope, not at all.
But if you really want to be competitive and you have your most talented skaters that aren't feeling competitive, it's because there's no one there to challenge them. So there's no one challenging them for their spot. So you need to recruit some new talent. In other words, you need to train up. And that sucks. And it may take a year. It may take 2 years. It may take 3 years like it did for Carolina. But it's taken us a while. But we're here now, you know.
Gosh, the rebuilding.
Yep. It's not fun. It's not fun. And especially when you don't live in a place maybe where there's a lot of skaters, you know?
I think in hindsight, it's a lot more fun than it feels when you're actually doing
it. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Next question is from Bobby Hall. He's a super fan.
Hi, Bobby.
How to get fans involved in a bad game? Well, all I can say is that when I'm watching a game that's really unbalanced, I cheer for the underdog team.
Yeah.
Even if they're not the team that I came there to see. Because I feel like I've been in the... Everybody who's played roller derby, except for maybe Bonnie Thunders, has been in the situation where you are playing an overwhelming team, an overwhelming force, an overwhelming team, and everything that you do that you finally get a point or two, that is a victory. And you should cheer it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, too. It's because landslides aren't that fun to watch. And no. I think of that Victoria game against somebody, another team.
Oh, it was like 600.
It was an insane. Yes. But everybody was rooting for that smaller team, and I think they got like 2 points. And, you know, Victoria, man, they're badasses. They're tough, tough.
And I think, what did everybody say on the internet? They were like, I want to buy that jammer that got those 2 points a beer.
Yeah. You know? So a lot of times it is like, yeah, just trying to, the little successes, the small successes.
Cheer for your favorite player. Yeah. You know, that's the other thing you can do, is that if you have a favorite on the track, you should cheer for him or her.
Yeah.
I've cheered every time I've seen a certain player on the screen, even though I know they're going to get their, you know,
ass handed to them.
But it's still, I mean, I am supporting that person. I may support several people on different teams, you know, because this is a small sport. We know each other. So why wouldn't you cheer for each other, you know?
Yeah, it's always so hard when you're watching champs or divisionals or any of the tournaments and you're playing. And, like, there's two teams. Like, I literally have to go back and watch the game over again. So it's like, okay. Like, I used to Bay Area when Knock Knock was still jamming. Like, okay, I've got to watch Knock Knock.
Yep.
But then, like, they'd be playing Rose City and you'd have, like, Knock Knock and Skull jam against each other. Yep. And you're like, okay, who do you watch now? So
Right. And it's hard. And it's, you know, and it's, that's easy to do when you're seeing it on your television. But when you're at the game, if you can cheer for your favorite player, they can hear you. Yeah. And it makes them feel better. I mean, I think the person, when it's such an unbalanced kind of game, the person that has the hardest job is the announcer. Like, they just have a horrible job.
Yes, that is a hard job. Who loves to announce. That's... You gotta get a little back history on all the skaters.
Yeah, you have to do all that kind of stuff. You have to be like, well, here's another jam where it's another 30-point jam against this team. I mean, that is a really hard position to be in.
But look at that footwork.
Yeah, but look at the heart on that other team, right? Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, next question is from Rita Manita.
Rita!
We love you, Rita. Okay, relatedly, what's your biggest challenge at your size? So we'll both answer this one.
I'm gonna let you go first, because I'm thinking about that, because...
For me... Hitting people that are short, because I have a hard time. I mean, I'm very aware of trying not to hit somebody in the head. It happens, but I'm worried about that. That's something that worries me in my sport. It worries me in this, you know, this contact that we do. I don't like having any head injuries on anybody. So it's really hard for me to try to, you know, be very careful about hitting someone in the head or the face or the neck. You know, because the way sometimes, you know, especially if you're blocking backwards and a jammer comes in at you, you know, sometimes it's going to happen. And you're like, I am so sorry. So for me, it's making sure that I intentionally am trying my best not to hit anybody above the shoulders.
Yeah. For me, it's... And I think it's just me, because, like, and as I said before, like, I'm not necessarily a huge hitter, so that is something that I've struggled with. But then you see players like Lil Mama from Montreal, who's the same height as I am, mostly, who can, like, take a girl out. So, yeah, we have slightly different body types, but from a height perspective, yes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really think about...
So, okay, let's turn that question
around. Let's turn that around, because I'm not...
So what's your best benefit?
Ooh.
So I think that's... Let's look at it this
way. Now, that one I like. So being short, I can naturally dead leg somebody.
Yes, you can.
Without trying too hard. I love to get in front of a tall jammer, and usually they find that very frustrating. JoJo used to tell me how frustrating it was to get stuck behind me, because she's like, you're tiny, I don't know what to do with you.
Right.
So I think it's easier to use my height. I think more of the benefits I do have that I can...
You have a smaller hitting zone.
I do have a smaller hitting zone, but I can also create with a seam that is nearly impenetrable.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
With the snuggle.
Yes.
Because I can kind of like, you know, I always tell taller skaters, which is everybody, you don't need to be as low as I am, because I'm going to make my body fit.
Yeah, you kind of form fit into there.
Yeah, like a little puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I don't ever think of the weaknesses. I just think of more of the, well, this is what I've got, so I'm going to use it.
Right. So, for me, I feel like I can go laterally quicker than most people can.
Oh, my God, you can cover the whole
track and, like... Right. So, especially, that's why I like to kind of be on that inside line, because I kind of bait people off of it. I'll be like, la, look at me, I'm really far away from the inside line, and then I'll hit you. It's that lateral move that I like to do. I like to move laterally on the track.
I've been hit by it.
Yeah, and I'm fast. So, it's those two things. Like, as a speed skater, I'm fast. So, that's one thing that makes me feel good is that, oh, I have speed and I can do laterals. And yeah. I couldn't do laterals before until we started playing this specific kind of dirt because no one really, you know.
You didn't use them for anything.
Yeah, you didn't use them. It was like, whatever. You know?
Oh, lane four's got that. B4's got that.
Yeah, exactly. They're just going to hang out there and everybody else is going to be over here. So I think my laterals are good and I do take up a lot of the track. I mean, it's an illusion. It's totally an illusion because it's not, it's just leg, you know, it's still an illusion that I take up more of the track than I think I really do. All right, Krispy Kreme has another question. She actually has like 5 questions because she's awesome.
She is awesome.
All right, she says, who's your derby hero?
I've had a few within my own league and I love all of my, anybody who shows up to practice is my derby hero yes. all the time. I always say that any skater under 5 feet is also my hero because mm-hmm. It is harder and it's hard work. But Devious was one of my favorite skaters. She's just a beautiful skater. Mm-hmm. UM1 Army. Mm-hmm. Huck Sen from Bay Area, I think she's retired now.
Is
or
she?
Maybe, and I haven't seen her play at all this year, so sadness.
Yeah.
Little A, I remember seeing Little A for the first time in 2012. It got to BNC
when
Tampa came, and I was
so
like,
cute.
Who is that? She's amazing, and she was just this tiny little thing. So I do tend to love the smaller skaters. But, I mean, hey, Amanda Jam and Enya, Demand a Riot.
Yeah.
Sure. Love them.
Love those big gals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like people that are kind, that they're super talented and super, you know, well known and are kind about it. And I think those are the people that really inspire me to keep skating because, you know, you do meet those occasional skaters that are super talented and super well known and they're super assholes.
Yeah.
And you're like, why? Oh, why are you such an asshole? You know, you don't need to be. That, you know, you're important in this community, but that's really about it, you know.
Yeah.
So I really find the people that are kind, that take the time to talk and to communicate, and you can, they're approachable, you know. So one of those people for me is Smarty Pants because she is super
she's
approachable
awesome.
And
so
she's
tiny.
Yeah, and she's one of your shortest skaters, but she's smart as hell and she really thinks about the sport. And for me, that's really exciting. Like, I don't know a lot of people that sit and think about the sport the way she does.
Yeah, I just like to watch people go there. And you put them so much more thought into that answer. I was like, yeah, I just want to see you skate. But I don't interact with it. Like, so one thing I have found is I don't generally want to meet my heroes.
No.
Because sometimes you're just disappointed.
Or sometimes you catch them at a really bad time. I mean, especially if you see them at a tournament, right? So you run into people at tournaments, and people at tournaments are stressed out. That's just the nature of the beast, you know? So, you know, one of the things you got to be careful of is, oh, hey, you come up to somebody and they're kind of like snippish or, you know, kind of pushy offy on you. Well, maybe because they're busy, you know, you have to be really.
Yeah. I had an interaction recently with, someone from a team that we played in Ohio, and I loved the skater. I remember watching her when I was new and she was pretty new, and it had been a busy game. And I just remember afterwards, I like fangirled out in line getting a beer and she was just kind of like, oh, and I like squee, like, oh, I just love watching you skate, like, it was so great to be out there with you, like, you're so inspirational to me, like, you, and she's just very, like, oh, okay.
Or maybe she's shy, you know, that's the other thing. I'm really standoffish. I'm totally standoffish when it comes to meeting people, especially if I don't know who they are. I'm like, hi,
we just sweated all over each other on the track. We knew each other well enough to say hello and thank you.
But if you don't have your helmet on, I may not remember who you are. I'm really bad about that. Another one that is my derby hero that I really love, and I got to finally skate with her, was Lady Kaboom.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome.
I finally got to skate with her, and I'm super excited. That was a bucket list for my derby situation. So if you don't know who Lady Kaboom is, look her up on Charm City.
That's
she's amazing.
Right. She's been around for a long time. She will.
She's awesome.
Take you to next week.
Yes, she will. All right, Chrissy Davis again. Earliest derby memory, fresh meat moment that made it all come together and make sense. And to piggyback on that, she also asked, if you could do it all over again now, what would you change from your fresh meat experience?
So let me answer the first one first. There were a couple of them. The first one, it was when I was being pack assessed as fresh meat, and I Q was there. She saw it happen. My jammer, KGBB, was coming out of the box, and mm-hmm. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I knew that Roxy Rocket was not my friend that day, mm-hmm. and I hit her and enough to get BB out, mm-hmm. and that was like, wah.
Well, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
I didn't realize it at the time, but I was just like,
first of all, knowing that your jammer was coming out of the box, knowing that there was an enemy there that was kind of a high-level enemy, and knowing that you needed to do offense. Offense is a higher-level situation. That's a higher-level learning situation. I think people automatically do defense very easily. They can understand defense. Yeah. I think offense takes thought. And so for you to have done that is amazing, because people don't generally catch on to offense that quickly.
Both of mine are offense related, because the other one was, I remember being in the middle of a jam and 2 seconds later going, that's when I should have played offense. Like, mm-hmm. that's the time. Mm-hmm. So, offense has always been a very, like, mysterious thing for me. People say I do it.
Yeah, well, you do it really well. You do it really well.
If I could do Fresh Meat over again, anybody who's a B team player who has aspirations of being an all-star player, enjoy your time on the B team.
Yes.
I was so hell-bent on being an all-star that I really probably did miss out on some of the joy of being a B team player, and you know, like, and that makes me sad, because I mean, I had a few years there on the B team that I really should have enjoyed more.
So I really love my bootlegger experience. I really loved it. In fact, that's probably going to always be the team that I think of, like, with the biggest heart on it, because we were always the scrappy underdogs, you know? It was always like, oh, God, here we're going. We're going to go play Blue Ridge and their all-star team, and they're going to kill us. And then we're going to go play Quad Squad's all-star team, because these were teams that weren't in the WFTDA yet.
Right.
So they would throw the bootleggers at them. Go play them, you know? Go play Cape Fair's, you know, all-star team.
Go play Greensboro.
Go get the crap kicked out of us. And so when the boots, you know, we really would just kind of bond over the pain of it all. And the other thing that would happen in our league is that the all-stars would just beat on us during scrimmage sometimes.
That was very bonding.
Yeah, and so you would really bond with your bootleggers, and I think that's something that we really, like, took to the track with us a lot. You know,
this together.
Right, oh my God, we survived the all-stars. We can survive anything, you know?
Bootleggers.
Yeah.
Bootleggers against the world.
Yeah, so hard to deal with that.
I learned so much, though.
Yeah, oh, you became so much better when that happened, but man, it was like getting the crap kicked out of you just constantly. It was like being in a Tibetan monastery and the guy just smacking the back of your head because you were falling asleep and all that. Yeah, that's what it was like.
That's a really good analogy. Pretty good description of it.
Yeah, it felt like it, and it was rough. It was rough. My earliest derby memory, basically, I remember knowing when to call off a jam when I was jamming, and I knew that I was going to get hit, but I had to call that jam off before. So it was Trudy that hit me.
Ooh.
And she came flying the first time. No, but she missed me the first time. The first lap I took, I dodged her.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah. And I went around, and then she came. I saw her, and I was like, I'm not going to make it. Not gonna make it.
I'm only gonna get one of those this day.
Yeah, right. So she catches me, and I was literally horizontal on the flying through the air, calling it off. And they were like, "That's hardcore." And I understood that's what they were looking for. You know,
the mid-air
call. Yeah, they're looking for someone that, you know, was giving everything. So that made sense to me. If I could do it all over again now, what would I change? I would have a different set of skates, the skates I have now, because I had really shitty plates. I had laser plates. Oh. They were 45-degree single-action plates. They would break constantly. I couldn't skate backwards because they were so wobbly. I couldn't do anything with them. The toe stop was all jacked up. They were horrible plates, and I didn't know how horrible they were until I switched them out.
Got new plates.
And I should have just, I just should have made the jump. I had the revenge plates for 2 years before I made the jump.
Are you kidding me?
Because I was nervous about it.
I couldn't wait to change plates.
Right?
Like, I got off my crappy Rydell R3s, and I got the DXK DA45,
right.
Yada, yada, yada. They weighed like 40 pounds.
Ugh, I was so sad that I didn't do it earlier, because I would have been a much better skater. And I got to tell you, it has made all the difference for me. Not because I was a crappy skater on the plates. It just, the plates really did hamper my development as a skater.
Well, and they probably just weren't they didn't suit your skating style.
No, and it didn't suit what was going on in as roller derby was changing. So when we were starting to do more backward skating and everything, my plates would just wiggle all over the place. Yeah. And I was like, I have no control.
And you brace a lot. So
yes, I'm a really good backward skater
now.
Yeah,
I know. Because, I really like it. Like, hey, give me my brace.
Yeah, because it's a stiffer plate. You know, it has stiffer bearings. I mean, not stiffer bearings. It has stiffer kingpin. It has everything. It's not double action. I mean, it is double action. It's not single action. It is so much better. And I'm just like, ugh, if I could just shake myself from 2009 and be like, put these on now!
You'll know? Love them.
Yeah, you'll be much better at this.
Yeah. No, I'm an equipment whore. I love.
Yeah.
Though I've been on Avenger plates for...
Forever, right?
Like, basically the year they came out.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to take them off of my
skates. These are mine.
I love them. I love those plates.
I felt like that about my Revenge plates and then they broke. I was very sad. And then nobody makes them anymore, which made me even sadder. Yeah, I know. All right, Joanna Edge Smith says, always paired with the shortest person as ever, and I get shouted at more often. I have to compensate for others. Now, this is a person that is a taller skater, and she feels like when she's with a shorter, like, paired up in a wall, I guess they don't have the same thing going on.
Yeah, you just gotta figure the puzzle piece out.
Yeah,
there's a video we could, like, demonstrate.
Right, you have to be able to work with the people that you are in your wall.
Yeah, I think part of that, too, is, again, like I said earlier, like, it's no one's ever going to be, not to toot my own horn, but no one's ever going to get as low as me, because I have far less space to go.
No, there is nobody that's going to get as low as you.
So I do, and I always, and it's really hard when I work with newer skaters or skaters that are new to the league, and, like, I'll adjust, like, I just need you to be in good derby position,
right.
And I'll adjust, I'll make it work. So, but you really have to have that conversation, and sometimes you kind of got to do it just standing still on skates.
I was just thinking that, too, because, you know, being a long-legged person, I had to really figure out how to fit into that wall without tripping people up, because, you know, we didn't start out like that. We started out in 2009, you were just on the track, just skating, you know? So it was kind of hard at first, because people were like, we're all going to have our butts to the jammer, and we're all going to be in this wall, and we're not going to step on each other's, you know, step into each other's spaces. I was like, I need a little more space than this, you know? Mm. So I think that's part of the reason I'm on the inside line now, because of that, I was like... This is going to be my way of doing it. And to get my long legs out of the equation, I really developed that left plow stop.
Oh, yeah.
So I can really, you know, use that.
I actually probably enjoy playing with a taller skater. Mm-hmm. Like I love to play with Ava Gore, but we're both tiny. So we have to work out our own, like, how we're going to handle the wall together. Because we did have, like, the Lilliputian lineup, like, the Lollipop Guild, me, Ava, and Princess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a while, so we had to figure out how to play with each other, just talk to each other. It's like dating.
It is, and you really do need to skate with each other. I think the more you skate with someone, the better off you're gonna... That's why it's so important, and this is why I always say this to our team. It's so important that everybody show up as much as possible so we can get used to skating with you, so there's not this, like, awkward adjustment during a game. You know, we need to really be able to know how each other skates and what we like to do on the track and how we behave on the track, so we know.
Yeah.
You know, there's no surprises. I hate surprises. Yes. I always say that.
Nothing worse than being at the middle of the game.
Where is she? What happened to her?
Yeah. Where'd who go?
Yeah, exactly. It's really frustrating to be paired up with someone that you don't normally skate with, and you're just like, I don't even understand. It's like riding a bicycle, but the bicycle's backwards, and you know,
it's got a banana seat on it.
Yeah, and you're like, what is this? You know, the brakes are different. So you just need to be able to work with someone over and over and over again. You'll be fine with them.
You'll be forced to work each other eventually, so...
Yeah, you might as well just get, you know, bite the bullet and do it now. Amanda Barnes says, where can I listen to the show? I'm from Australia. I'm also the shortest on my team, being 4'11", so any tips would be good. Do you have any tips for Amanda?
Just, if you've heard the show, kind of everything that I've said, like, work with your, like, with your teammates more. Figure out what your strengths are. Like, you might be a little mama who can, like, take a huge line of people out, or maybe you will be a booty blocker who's pesky and really just makes a jammer miserable because she can never get past you. Or maybe you're just the jammer who's a little, you know, you can slip through walls, or people always tell me they don't know how to hit me when I jam, and I'm always like, you certainly do manage every time. So I'm always baffled by that statement. You're so hard to hit when you jam. No, you guys do it all the time.
Well, they hit me too, so it doesn't matter. It has no idea. You're a jammer, you're gonna get hit. I mean, that's just the way it is.
But I think it really is just spending more time on skates and kind of figuring out what your strength is going to be. Being short, practice deadlifting people.
Yes. Oh, God. That is the worst. Being a tall person, that's probably the worst thing that can happen to you on the track, is that someone will come up and get you in that really sweet spot on your leg in the middle of your thigh, and they just hit it just right, and then your leg goes dead for about three jams. And that's what a dead leg is, if you don't know what we're talking about. It is uncomfortable because they hit the tendon, and it just...
Yeah, it's a big, it's like a really horrible trail race. Now, I will say the downside of being short is I have more than once dead-legged myself on somebody's butt.
Oh, because you've come in. Because
I come in and they're like, that's also embarrassing and painful.
It is uncomfortable. And I think when I get dead-legged, it's just like, ooh, you son of a bitch. You know, but I've never dead-legged myself on someone, which is a good feeling.
It sucks when it happens. You're just like, oh, especially if you're if you're jamming really, it always happens when I jam.
Oh, well, yeah, because you're driving, right?
So, if it's a really good jam and I'm having some success, to do that is just, it blows.
Yeah, that would suck. I think what I find of when I see the shorter skaters out there, I worry about you guys because getting hit in the face and all that. And I do see you're full of numbers by the time you come off of the dam. Yeah. So get a face shield.
I don't wear one.
She doesn't. I tell her to, but I really do worry about that. And I think it's a good idea for most skaters in general to have them because, it is becoming this kind of a weird contact sport where, Bonnie Thunders got hit in the face really hard during champs last year. So did, OMG.
Right. That's why you and One Army retired. Concussion.
Yeah. So, anything to protect yourself. I see a lot of our shorter skaters, Ava especially, just gets these numbers, just like a beard of numbers all over her face because people hit her in the face constantly and the refs aren't calling it.
No, that's...
And I'm not saying that they're not seeing it or maybe they're seeing it differently. Like, they're seeing it as a mutual... impact kind of situation. But honestly, when your skater comes off, and this is a captain used to drive me crazy, she would come off and just have just numbers all over her face. And I could read them. I'd be like, well, 34 hit you. And I'd be like, where's 34?
You know who that is.
Right. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. I you're right. I don't wear a face shield. I wear an S. I have a very small head. I wear a children's size helmet, and I love the S1 helmet. So I'm waiting for them to do the face shield for the child.
Haven't done it yet?
I think it was in beta. Okay. I don't know if it's in production.
Well,
yet.
Hopefully they'll get that, and you can get that. Yeah. Because I really feel better when people have it, because I really worry.
I really like my helmet.
I know you do. All right, Sarah Midge Hammond says, I'd like to know how to use your height to your advantage. For me as a shorter skater, but I know that taller skaters struggle too when blocking.
I'm going to let you. I don't want to be redundant.
No, you're fine.
Just get low and be annoying and learn to make that seam with your taller counterpart, and you can do it.
Yeah. Dead leg a chick.
Yeah.
Really be the, if we don't. I don't consider this a bad thing, but be a gnat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Be a gnat, man. Be in front of the player. If you are not a big hitter, like you say you're not, which is not true because you've hit me. But anyway, so be a gnat. Be the player that recycles on that jammer and holds that jammer for the rest of the wall to come up there. Yeah. Because that is what takes the heart out of any jammer, is that they think they've cleared the pack or cleared the wall, and then one person gets in front of them, and they're like, oh, one person, I can deal with this. And then all of a sudden, six people are in front of them. And you're like, how did six people get on the track against me? But it's true. And so, learn to recycle, be fast, work on your stops, work on being a really good booty blocker, be really good on your skates.
Also, I find that, learn how to use your teammates to your advantage, too. Mm-hmm. So, I love to booty block with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
I love tractor trailing with you. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun. Because then their person's just off. Whoever you've got trapped behind you is super unhappy about it.
Yeah.
But it's really, there's no magic pill for your size. You just have to really figure out what works best for you. And that is time on skates.
Yeah,
with your teammates.
And really thinking about what you're doing out there. Not thinking to the point where you're frozen, but thinking about what is working for me. Why is this working? What can I do to make this better?
Yeah.
I work on that kind of stuff constantly. Neuralizer came by last week and she showed us the Rico from Denver. And I, was working on it. It's a move where you're backwards and then you're forwards again.
I was there, but I can't remember it off the top of my head.
So I was working on it before practice. I was just doing it over and over and over again. And then when I did it in scrimmage, I was like, I did the Rico! Like, I actually announced it. Because
I remember you announcing
it. Yeah, I was, like, super excited about it. But the point being, you just need to work on stuff. I have to work on the same things that everybody else on skates has to work on, even if I'm tall. You know, I have to be able to get to where I want to go, stop when I want to stop.
Go when you want to go.
Go when I want to go, hit someone when I want to hit them, be effective with my wall. Those are all the same things. We all have the same goals, and everybody's different on how they have to get there. So.
And don't get frustrated. I mean, you're going to get frustrated, but don't let it get you down, because Derby just does that to you.
Well, I mean, whether you're tall, short, if you're a perfectionist, you are never going to survive a derby, because guess what? You're on skates, and everything bad happens when you have wheels on your feet. I mean,
yeah, you can't really control them all the time.
No. I was watching a video of our 2010 greatest hits from the Carolina Roller Girls. And there's a point where everybody, like, there is just one point where the person that put the video together, Daisy Rage, she just put everybody's falling down.
I love that video.
Falling down. And there's one point where Tripp just is going across. He's our ref. He's just going across the track and falls down. There's nothing on the track to trip him. He just falls. And it's funny because you're just like, God, we've all been there.
You know? Like, I feel like, aren't you afraid to fall? And I was like, aren't you afraid to get hit and hit the floor? And I'm like, ooh, no, I usually, like, I take myself out.
Oh, yeah.
Probably way more often than somebody else. I was like, I'm just totally skating fallen. Along.
Yep. Or you're just standing there. That's the worst. You're just standing there and you just go down. You're like, what happened?
It's the worst when you're running a fresh meat class and you're, like, just trying to skate to the other side of the track and you bust your tail. And you're like, see, everyone falls all the time.
The worst thing ever is to fall in front of the crowd when they're doing intros. That is the worst. I have not done it yet, but I can tell you. I think about it every time I go out there. I'm like, oh boy, is this going to be the time I fall on my ass right in front of the crowd?
I can make it through my career without that.
Yeah, it would be amazing. But, you see it, and this is another reason I hate intros. I'm like, I hate intros.
I think OMG actually tripped up on somebody's wheels in the lat, and I was like, oh, she's such a great skater, like, I wonder if she's just going to, like, play that off. And she did. She was fine.
She was like, meh. They probably fall in it. You know, I mean, like, everybody falls. I know that Roxy Rocket, when she first started skating, her big plan was not to fall during a game. And I was like, you're insane. That's an insane thing to worry about. I was just happy to survive a game. Yeah. I didn't care if I fell or not, you know?
Meanwhile, watching people fall is hilarious.
Oh, it's always funny.
And you have to laugh at yourself when you fall, too, but Rocket used to always she would just lose her mind laughing when she saw people fall.
Yes.
And I loved it, because it is funny.
It is. It is too funny.
There's no bleeding or broken.
Yeah, as long as there's no damage. It's just, the damage is to your pride. That's about it. All right, next question. Brainstorming ideas for MVP awards. Anyone willing to share some ideas? I try to do themed when we used to do them. Like, themed MVP awards. Or really quick. That was the other. Either they were really elaborate or really, really, really quick.
One of my favorite MVP awards is actually one that you made against Richmond in 2000. And
oh, the drawings.
Yes.
Yeah, those were cool.
And that one actually, so all of the awards that I have, the other coolest one I have is Jess the Ripper from Greensboro made it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this little, like, paper mache skull that you get at whatever, like, Michael's or wherever for a buck. But she painted it, hand-painted it, and it's just this Day of the Dead sugar skull, and I love that
thing. Isn't she
a
tattoo artist?
I have no
idea. I think she is.
But so. She knows how to decorate a skull.
Well, and yeah, and that's one of, Greensboro gave me one of my favorite ones, too, and that was, I have a toy airplane, because I got MVP Jammer, so it was the Ace, so it's a little toy airplane.
You got a broom from them. They had a Harry Potter-themed game, too, and you got a broom from them.
And that's fun. That. Like, stuff like that is really fun. Those were fun games. They were B-team games. They weren't, for the super competitive games.
Having a cool theme is one way to get your crowd involved, too.
Right. True that. So, having a cool theme, like a superhero theme, or the Harry Potter theme, or Game of Thrones, all those things are really fun. Some of the best MVP awards I've gotten, like I said, are themed. I've seen some MVP awards that were rated X that could not be seen by the crowd.
Ooh.
I was at I'm not going to mention the team, but I was subbing for a B team from a local league, and one of the teams, they made a dildo, a golden dildo with a Barbie riding it.
That's
as an MVP award.
Fun.
I don't know. No, it's not up here. It's
as
not,
I look
not,
at her
not
wall, her wall.
I did not win that award. I was glad to have not won that award, but they had glitter all over it, and I mean, it was really interesting. I was like, huh, what was the thought process that went into this one?
I know.
you know, it wasn't something they could share in public.
Yeah, I've seen, so we have a couple of really, like, talented, crafty people in our league. We have super crafty
people in our league.
And, like, Ginger Clobbers, who everyone knows and loves because she's a frequent guest. Mm-hmm. She has some, like, sandblasting or...
Mm-hmm. She does the glass
and
stuff.
And she'll do, like, shot glasses or beer mugs. And so that's... You can actually get a spray.
Mm-hmm.
You can just, you know, get a stencil and spray something on there. That would be pretty fun and easy.
The ones I've seen that are really cute recently, Cape Fear made them. They had capes. So you can wear them in the after party.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was really neat. Like, they had little, like, just capes, and it just said MVP Blocker, MVP Jammer. I was just thinking, God, you know how much fun that'd be. Yeah. I've seen trucker hats, so you can wear them to the after party. That's another thing.
Ooh, I got Appalachia. I was MVP Jammer. I never scored a single point in that game. Thank you, App, for... They're like, you never stopped! But I was MVP Jammer for that. And they made little magnets, like, mm-hmm. super easy with those, like, glass things you put in the fishbowl or you, like, fiddle around with mm-hmm. and you get a pedicure. I don't know what they are. And they just put, like... They had taken our CRG bootlegger logo and put that on there. And then they had a whole... Like, it was a whole grouping. They're still, to this day, on my refrigerator. I look at them all the time. So I kind of like the ones that I get to look at every day. Mm-hmm. So the magnet one makes me really happy because all my other ones are in the I love me room.
Heck yeah, you have to have an I love me room. Yeah. I mean, because why are you doing this otherwise, right? But yeah, so I mean, I think it's fun. If you can get ones that you can wear, fun, you know, sunglasses, trucker hat, cape was really cool.
Cape's awesome.
When the debutante brawlers played the Trauma Queens last time, I made the little crowns.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, and the little ponies. We had pink and blue ponies and pink and blue crowns for the MVP blockers and jammers.
I was an MVP, so I don't remember that. I don't remember the ponies, but...
Yep.
Or if you have someone in your league who's got, a very special skill set, so one of the Blue Ridge players, Poga Hot Mess, Messy, she's a blacksmith.
Yeah.
She does amazing things, and I'm always like, why don't you guys use her for MVP? Like, she makes these awesome belt buckles. I would love... What do I need to do to get a Blue Ridge belt buckle?
There you go.
You know, other than $40.
You're putting the call out there right now.
Hey, yeah. Messy.
So, I mean, anything like that is fun. And like I said, if you have somebody that's willing to... I mean, I've got, you know, just somebody's done some little doodly thing and put it in a frame.
Yeah.
It was really cute.
And if you have, a heat press, so one of our three of them now actually have the machine. I know, we're crafty.
Yep.
Have the machine that you cut out stuff and you heat press it on. Mm-hmm. Someone made me a Bob the Drag Queen tank top. Thanks, Magic and Crank. And I love that thing, but that's pretty cool. You could do a scrimmage shirt that somebody could wear to scrimmage, because do you ever have enough scrimmage shirts?
No.
And you have to throw them away at some point.
Yeah, because they get really gross.
Yeah. Well, nasty.
All right, well, you've spent another hour.
That went by so fast.
I know, it always does, listening to Q's Tips. We do have some sponsors tonight. First of all, my sponsor, this is not a show sponsor, but they are like my personal sponsor.
Personal sponsor.
So houseofskate.net.
Nice.
If you use code ELEKTRA, ELEKTRA, all capital letters, you will get 10% off your order. And that's nice because, you know, we've got champion season coming up. You need to probably get some new gear. I would order it toot sweet because in a month, people are going to be on the road. All right. And also, Krispy Kreme. And Man Candy from Kinston's Roller Derby League, the Ring City Roller Girls. Ring City will be hosting their 4th annual Masquerade Brawl Invitational on October 29th at Galaxy of Sports. This year's Masquerade Brawl will be the Game of Thrones.
Awesome.
And that's what we were talking about, that themed, and will feature mini bouts for rookie, intermediate, and experienced skaters. Open to men and women. Check out the Ring City Roller Girls Facebook page for event details, or just give them a like. Ring City practices at Galaxy Sports in Kinston Mondays and Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Contact them for open practices if you'd like to join in on the fun. Ring City Roller Girls, bringing roller derby to Eastern North Carolina since 2006.
I will say, one of my favorite invitationals was a Valentine's Day Massacre at Ring City.
Yep, that was one of my favorites, too. And we had a lot of fun, and like I said, if you're going to dress up, you can dress up like Ho to Do.
Can I be Arya and just, have different faces that I pull off?
And just be really mad the whole time. Be just really, really angry. All right, and also, the Bout Betty's. Bout Betty's sent me a box And they are really fun stuff in it. It's a roller derby subscription box for Betty's who love the derby lifestyle. We send boxes monthly full of awesome derby apparel, gear, accessories, snacks, and more. We will also work with awesome skate shops to get custom coupon codes just for you. And that's www.boutbetties.com. We're sisters who are new to derby, but we've always had an underlying yearning to become hard-hitting roller derby chicks. Bout Betty's would have never existed without the inspiration from a very close friend of ours who plays with the Lake Effect Furies. She just happens to be the most badass derby broad we know. As fresh meat on two different teams, we know firsthand how important it is to raise money for things like training, travel for skaters, and just the overall growth of your roller derby program. With every subscription purchase, Bout Betty's donates a portion to a random roller derby league every month.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. We're always looking for new derby-related products that our badass Betty's would love. If you run a derby-related Etsy shop or skate shop, contact us and let us know what you've got. We'd love to feature you in an upcoming box. So my box had, like, leggings and they had bearings.
I'll be sending this link to everyone who wants to give me a gift.
Right, and bearings. Mm-hmm. And I had those really cool sunglasses that everybody likes that I wear. I got from them. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh,
it was really
awesome.
Neat. Also, keep an eye out for us. We'll be out and about at RollerCon. It'll be our first time there, so if you check our Facebook page, there's a first-timers meetup event that we're hosting, too.
I bet, too, if you're a league that maybe has some swag that or merch that you are, like, you've updated your logo and you don't, you're not selling the vintage logo anymore. Like,
right.
I bet they, Bout Betty's would
love
to
have
that.
Yep, and like I said, we know a lot of crafty people in roller derby, so if you're interested in boosting up your Etsy shop, this would be one way to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you for coming tonight, Dot.
Thanks for having me. I always love to come.
All
I
right.
I wish Major Tom would come visit me again.
He will. And have a great night. Tune in next week. We're going to have another exciting show.
Woo!
Bye-bye.